Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's podcast. We're on location. As you've been following Cyclone Fanatic all week, you know I've been on this RV TV tour. Cyclone Fanatic has been teaming up with KXNO and Channel 13 and also the guys from Hawkeye Nation here as well. And we are in Webster City for today's podcast, as Mark Charter has been kind enough to make the road trip up. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Road Warrior?
How's it going?
I feel like I'm more refreshed than you.
No, I'm good.
That's what I feel like.
I don't feel bad at all.
Okay. Maybe it's just how you look.
I don't look good.
You just look tired.
Well, I mean.
You look a little tired, that's all.
I'm tired on Thursday of Cyhawk week anyways.
Yeah.
So I may as well have some fun.
You're going to get a nice little boost of energy tomorrow when you roll names, though. Because then, you know, day before the game,
yeah.
You know, that's going to be exciting.
No, dude, I'm fine. Like, this has been an awesome experience.
Yeah.
I love small towns, too. Like, I just am a small town guy. So, what's been fun for me is just there's nothing I enjoy more than going to these, like, hole-in-the-wall bars in these tiny little small towns. And, like, literally drank a bar out of Busch Light last night in Humboldt. They ran
just,
out.
Just you?
No, everybody.
Okay, everybody.
They ran out. Like, they ran out of beer. The Naughty Pine.
Yeah.
In Humboldt. Humboldt is one of the coolest places I've ever been.
I actually drove through it like 2 weeks ago, but never actually stayed there or been there.
It's awesome.
So how many free drinks did you get last night? Like, give me the idea of what's happening.
I got some free drinks last night.
Yeah.
I don't know how many.
Any Hawk fans?
Yeah, actually, I met a Hawk fan named Larry.
Yeah.
Talked with Larry a lot.
He bought you around?
Yep. See, that's the thing about, like, this tour. Generally, the Hawk fans you meet are really nice.
Yeah.
They're not all dicks, like you see on Twitter.
I've found that oftentimes when people come and talk to you about anything face-to-face, their dickishness falls way off.
It's very accurate.
It just does.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, oh, wait a minute. Instead of talking to a screen name, I'm actually talking to a person.
It's a human being.
That's standing in front of me, so maybe I should be nice to them.
I have not had one Hawk fan say one thing negative to me.
Because most people, frankly, don't have the balls to say what they want to say to your face.
Yeah, even if they hate me, they generally
they're not going to do it to your face. Yeah. That's life in a nutshell.
No, it's been fun, though. We're in Webster City right now. We're broadcasting in a Plaza RV. Shout out to our guy Scott for letting us.
Very nice RV.
Yeah, this is awesome. I've stayed in here all week, and we're literally downtown Webster City right now. This is cool. We're gonna do our KXNO afternoon shows from here, and tonight is the big Webster City bash, and then in the morning we head to Jack Trice.
So I join you guys tomorrow night,
5:30, right?
For the radio show.
Yep.
You're broadcasting that from this location.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the specifics of that yet.
My buddy Gabe Glenn just walked in. He's going to be joining us.
When, now or tomorrow?
Oh, now. Oh. Right now. Literally, he's standing a foot in front of you.
What's up, Gabe?
What's going on, brother?
Are you all showered?
I am,
dude.
You're
good to go?
Yeah. I didn't realize how stinky I was until I got in the shower and got shampoo in my hands, and I could smell that.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, my God, I must reek.
Was it just like the stank just spewing off of you?
Oh, dude. I was wearing the same clothes for like 48 hours.
Yeah.
I slept in them last
night.
That's
kind of what
this trip's
become. Yeah. That's kind of how this rolls.
For people, I'm sure there's people that will be listening to the podcast that have no idea who Gabe is, correct?
Well, Gabe was on a Cyclone Fanatic podcast the other day.
Okay.
So if they're listeners...
If they're loyal and listen to all of the podcasts?
To every one of them, yeah, they'll know who Gabe is. But if not, he's a Hawkeye.
Well, Gabe, listen. Welcome to the best podcast on Fanatic.
I'm a fan.
This is the one.
I listen.
So Gabe is wearing his Hawkeye shirt. He's representing.
HawkeyeNation.com shirt.
I was on the site the other day checking it out. Not that I've spent a lot of time on Hawkeye Nation in the past, but it's looking good.
Thank you.
You guys are doing some good things.
There's a lot of good content on there. Obviously, five writers, so that helps.
That probably helps from time to time.
Yeah.
We'll get your predictions on the game here coming up. So every week, Adam Gray, who's obviously not here today, and Chris and I make our picks.
I say we save those for later. I say we talk to Gabe.
Then kick him out?
And then kick him out, and then we'll do the picks at the end.
I'm not going to leave. As soon as I get off of this, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to heckle you guys.
That sounds about
that
right.
That sounds like something a Hawk fan would do.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Of course.
Let's talk about the game, though. I mean, it's been a really weird week with the Tyler Sash stuff. And then I feel like for me specifically, I haven't thought as much about, like, matchups and, you know, individual breakdowns as I normally would when I'm just sitting around my office, just because we've been so busy, you know, traveling and everything. But I don't know. I think that if anybody, an Iowa or Iowa State fan, would tell you that they're, like, incredibly confident about what's going to happen on Saturday, that they're a liar.
The game is off. Except for a couple of times, the game is always exciting. It's always close. It's always different. You know, even the years that, last year being a good example, that a lot of people expected Iowa was just going to roll them, go in there and roll them, didn't happen.
Well, a good example is, too, I mean, within the last, when the series got competitive, you've had a 9-6 game, and you've had a triple overtime game in the 40s. And it could be any of those tomorrow, frankly.
I loved the 9-6 game. What? I thought it was fun.
You like boring football?
No, I see. Listen, I don't like it all the time. But, like, that doesn't happen very often. So when it does, it intrigues me. Like,
what about the triple overtime game?
That was awesome, too. No, I loved that one.
That one didn't make Mark's list. Come on. That's, like, one of the most historic games in
the
rivalry.
It's because I lost money on that game. That was probably, I didn't want to talk about it.
That's probably my favorite.
You're a gambler?
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
But you know what I mean? Like, how unique is a 9-6 game in college football, but in a rivalry game like that? I mean, that was just a couple of teams just trading haymakers left and right defensively, and it was cool. And
I don't think that's going to happen this weekend.
From a fan perspective, that was the best game in the last 20 years. I mean, that game was exciting to watch. Last year's game was exciting, too.
Or the triple overtime?
The triple overtime.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
The back and forth. Yeah, because I was at that game, and I kept thinking, Iowa's going to run away. And then
who was
Iowa's quarterback?
Was that Vandenberg? Who quarterbacked that game for Iowa?
I think it would have been Vandenberg.
I think it was too. It was a steel chance. Vandenberg.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I mean, historically speaking, Vegas doesn't know anything about this game. The spread is often way off. You know, Iowa's been favored by 17 before, and Iowa State wins by 17. I mean, way, way off. And the spread this year is 3.
I think
currently it's 3.
Yeah, it opened at 6.5, I think.
So that tells you the money's on Iowa State. So they're bringing it down.
Which, I mean, if any, like, the people who really know what they're doing, they're the ones who bet the day the line comes out.
Well, they almost get, like, special access. I mean, they get the line before anybody else.
Any, like, expert, like, knows the trend with this rivalry. I always say covers. They don't always win, but
often.
I mean, I want to think, like, the last, like, 5 games or whatever have been, like, 6 points or less, or I'm not sure.
For the most part, I mean.
Yeah, or 10 points or less.
The last time in Ames was, I think, 27-21, but that game
deceiving.
Wasn't as close.
Yeah, Iowa beat them up pretty good.
Yeah, Iowa State had a late chance, I think. I think they had a chance to get an onside kick, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Didn't do it. I mean,
Quentin Buttridge scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make that one look close.
It wasn't as close as it seemed. But you talk about matchups and stuff. My honest opinion is, having watched this game my whole life, and it's a lot better now than it used to be, but the matchups don't mean a whole lot, if that makes sense. I mean, you can look at offensive line versus defensive line, or wide receivers versus D-backs or whatever, and you say, oh, they've got the advantage, but that doesn't seem to matter as much for whatever reason. Ross Peterson, you can come in, bud. Hey, I don't know if you agree with that, Gabe, but
I do. I don't think it's going to be one in the trenches. I think, honestly, though, you guys have one of the best receiving corps in the country.
Well,
the problem is the person slinging the pigskin at them, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would say it's the offensive line more than that, but.
Well, I mean, Iowa.
That'd be my argument.
Sam has not lit the world on fire. Let's be honest.
Well, no, but he's played behind
crappy
some of
lines.
The worst line play you can
draw
up the last
2 years.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think he's Joe Montana, but I don't think he's terrible either. I think he can.
He's not Joe Montana. Agreed.
If he has time, I think he can. But that's a big if, because we've never really seen it. You know what I mean? Like, he's never had that opportunity to prove it or not prove it.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Jake Rudock.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Not super confident, not super strong. You know, kind of does what he's supposed to do, you know? But
Now, Gabe, you like to occasionally maybe wager legally or illegally on games, too. So from that perspective, though, as a Hawk fan, these games are tough to bet against your own team. I get that. But in the past 5 years, have you looked at any one of those games and said, I think Iowa State will win this game?
I've got two rules of betting, okay? One, I never bet against my teams.
Yep.
So I don't bet against the Cubs, and I don't bet against the Hawkeyes.
Yep.
And then I never bet on a team that I hate.
Okay.
And then rule number three
is... You never bet on Iowa State.
Rule number three is I often break rule number two. So do you remember the game Florida State last year in Louisville? Or no, it was Florida State, Miami.
I remember every Florida State game.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We've talked about this on the podcast because they refused to cover a spread.
Mark and I had a really love-hate relationship with the Seminoles.
Oh, it was horrible.
Year. We both did.
Horrible season last year for them.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
They won every game, but they would never cover. Like, Florida State was a heavy favorite all the time. And so this week one of this year, I said, you know, Florida State burned me last year. I'm not going to touch them. And, of course, I touched them. And they did cover. So maybe they've turned things around this
year.
So
you have rules that you break then, too, is what you're saying.
Of course. So, but I am going with Iowa State on this one. I think they'll win just because it's Ames, new stadium, improved team. But Iowa's won the last two in Ames, I think.
And Iowa's been playing better on the road.
The road team's won the last four games in this rivalry.
So I'm not shocked whatsoever if Iowa wins. But
it's a freaking coin
gut
toss.
Feel.
I mean,
since Iowa State pulls it out.
If you look at it matchup, both teams have advantages over the other.
Anybody that says Iowa State's going to kill them, those are the people who are like, you don't know what you're talking about.
I mean,
the chance of either team killing the other team is not good.
If anybody on either side is predicting like a blowout, I don't want to talk to that person.
Because Cyclone Jerry's of the world.
I don't have time for that type of a
42-10. I see it coming,
and it could happen. I mean, but like to predict it, like neither one of those teams in week. I don't think we know a lot more about either one of them. I mean, I just don't like. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
If you're not a joke of a Power 5 program, you should manhandle FCS teams.
I don't think it's possible to learn a whole lot about any team after 1 week.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I look at what Iowa did, and it was dramatically different than anything that I've seen in the last 5 years. I mean, looking at the sideline, the guys were smiling. They were having fun. They were actually enjoying what they were doing. I haven't seen that kind of energy on the sideline of a Hawkeye team in quite a while.
I'll tell you who's happy. Speaking of sidelines, there was multiple times. I don't know if you pay any attention to the Cyclone sideline in the game, but they have like the groups of players.
Yeah, they're dancing.
They're like doing the whole game. They're like dancing, doing the jitterbug.
I wish people could see you.
See my moves?
Yeah, see you dancing.
So we keep hearing about this new Ferentz, right? He's a new guy. He's turned over a new leaf. Did you actually see that in the game, and how did you see that come out?
Well, I think obviously the most obvious one is the fake field goal, right? That we didn't get.
And Ross is about to slap you, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ross and I had talked about this. So I think the first thing, the most obvious one, is the fake field goal try, towards the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And what's funny is in his post-game press conference, somebody brought it up and said, hey, you got a standing ovation for the crowd for doing that.
Yeah.
He goes, probably the first time anybody's ever got a standing ovation by their fan base for not executing a play.
Hey, man. They've been conditioned to think that we're not going to do anything stupid.
Yep. Ever. And then right before half. There's 44 seconds left on the clock, and I'm already rolling my eyes just expecting that the clock's going to run out.
Yep.
We're going to take a knee.
Yep.
Boom. Calls a timeout.
Yeah.
We get, 70 yards?
Yeah.
Go downfield.
But will it continue? That's the question.
The thing is, all of the events that I went to and everything that we've heard from Ferentz, in this offseason has been, we hear you guys.
Yeah.
We hear what you're saying. I mean, ticket holders spoke. I mean, the ticket sales are down. Dramatically,
yep.
I mean, to levels that we haven't seen in a long, long time. So the fans have spoke, and I think the program is.
I always wonder Chris, weigh in on this.
Well,
coaching staff.
Well, it's the same thing as Iowa State, though. Like, all we heard is a culture change, and sure, it's great after you beat an FCS team at home and manhandle them, and we all buy in. But what happens when you hit adversity for the first time? Because that's when you can really tell if change has occurred.
But knowing those programs as well.
For both sides, I think it's a very similar conversation.
I'm curious as a fan, when they say, in Ferentz's case and in Rhodes' case, they say, we hear the fans, we know we have to change. Is it true that they're hearing it and they're instituting change, or is that coming from above them, the AD saying, guys, listen, ticket sales are down big time. We got to do something
about this. I don't know the dynamics of Ferentz and Barta very well, I guess, like I do. I think that there's different relationships Like, I think very much that Jamie Pollard's Paul Rhodes' boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if Jamie tells him something, Paul listens. But I don't know, like, if I don't think that Oklahoma's AD could walk into Bob Stoops' office and say, hey, you need to be nicer to the media, or you know.
But
what
isn't
I'm saying?
Isn't the dynamic interesting in that? Yes, the coach, his job to win football games and do all that. But if you have a head football coach that wins a lot of games, but maybe does it in a boring style, so fans don't come. At the end of the day, it's still a business, and that AD is probably going to go to the coach and say, "You got to change something."
But fans will come if you're winning.
I agree.
Even if it's boring, Hawk fans are going to show up. It's been a boring brand of football for quite a while.
Yeah. But they won last year. Where were the fans like this opening week? It's not like Iowa's horrible last year.
I said it yesterday. The difference between a 7-5 season with a loss to Iowa State and a 7-5 season with a win to Iowa State is dramatically different in the eyes of a fan. I mean, it's one of the most important.
And obviously,
games.
The bowl game left a sour taste in their mouth after last year. That was ugly.
I think Iowa's expectations against a schedule like they had last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
the way that
same
we
with
lost
this year.
The way that we lost those games too, like Nebraska. I mean, we were winning.
Yeah.
Those games, and then just poop down our legs in all of them.
Yeah, and I think even this year, like 7-5, like on the surface, it's like, okay, but like when you, I feel like Iowa needs to eat its lunch when it can, you know what I mean? Because they'll never have a more favorable schedule than the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's cave.
And I think the fans realize that, you know, like, man, this is our opportunity to remember when Iowa State had the – when the Big 12 North was so bad.
Yeah.
And they
and
would
we
have,
had a chance to actually win
well,
the North.
Yeah, because there were those years where Texas and Ohio State weren't on the schedule.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like you – no, not Ohio State. Texas and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
They weren't on the schedule. And, like, fans would sit there and count down until those years because you knew it was something like, okay, this is when we can make our big run.
Yep.
And I guess I look at Iowa and I'm like, I don't even care what their – roster looks like. It's like, man, like if we're gonna do something, like this is a really good opportunity.
Yep.
And that's why I kind of like witnessed Iowa fans last year. I thought, like, man, we're just letting this kind of slip through the cracks.
Opportunity slip away. I think expectations got a little bit blown up too. If you remember, the Big Ten Network does their they travel to each school, you know, leading up to the season, and they come into Iowa and they're like, man, this is a dynamic team. They've got a solid quarter, like all these great things, and they're really pumping it up. And you know, if you go back and you look at like their predictions for the team and stuff like that, but then you watch all the other Big Ten schools, you go, how is it that every team in the Big Ten is going to go 10-2? Don't they play each other?
The math doesn't work.
It doesn't
here.
Add up. But the problem is you know, a lot of fans, they're going to watch the Iowa preview. Yeah. They're not going to watch all the other schools. And so, you know, they hear that, and then the expectations build. And, you know, what's cool about, you know, fan sites, you know, like Cyclone Fanatic and HawkeyeNation.com is you get to see all of that play out in the message boards.
Oh,
you get to watch. You can literally see the energy and the enthusiasm and the expectations change.
I'm curious where something's going to give, though, for especially the Hawkeyes here, because the smartest people in the country typically are the people that reside in Las Vegas. They got money on the line, right? And the over-under for the Hawks, last time I heard, I think, was 7.5 wins. Yeah. 7.5, 8, right?
They were there, and Iowa State was at 3.
Okay, so 7.5, 8 wins. But my point is, everyone says this is a much-improved team. They're going to change. Iowa literally has one of the softest schedules in the country, yet the win total is at 8. So where are they seeing these losses at? You know, because Iowa plays, what, 11
Wisconsin.
Or 12 games in the regular season?
Yep. Wisconsin at Nebraska, and then they'll probably assume –
Minnesota. They're kind of assuming Minnesota's
going to
be
and Minnesota maybe with Paul Hum in their first game.
They're just assuming you lose
Minnesota was a touchdown away from beating the number two team – tying the number two
I mean,
team,
if you watch that game, TCU certainly, in my opinion, played down. I mean, wide-open receivers missed a couple of times for touchdowns. I mean, they could have won that game by much more.
That was a snoozer of a game. Like, yeah.
TCU looked like they were doing just enough to get the victory and get out of town.
Yeah.
They're not trying to impress anybody.
It was weird. I think, too, I wish I would have known, betting-wise, that Gary Patterson and Jerry Kill were best friends.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know that going into that
game.
That
does affect things sometimes. Yeah. I believe
I mean, I'm not saying that's the only reason they won by 6, because TCU played, like, garbage that game. But
well, yeah, I don't think their friendship had anything to do with Boykin missing wide-open receivers a couple of times,
correct,
for touchdowns.
But from a gambling standpoint, that's good
those
information.
Those things matter.
Yeah, especially when you got, like, a 14.5-point spread like that.
Without a doubt.
I don't know.
It's those losses you never forget.
That's what I would guess with Iowa, though. Those games, and then they probably just assume, like, a Northwestern. There's a lot of toss-up games.
Northwestern's one that a lot of people can see losing. And, I mean, you talk about fan interest, and, you know, season ticket sales are down, and that's partially because of the, you know, the message coming from fans that are saying we're tired of this brand of football. But look at our schedule. I mean, look at our home schedule.
It's awful.
The most exciting game on our schedule is maybe Pittsburgh?
I think
maybe Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a horrible schedule.
That is a boring home schedule.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it came that way, but I think as long as they play a little bit more like they played in that first week as the season progresses, I think fan interest will come back.
I agree. Right, though, man. As long as they're winning, it doesn't matter if they're running a triple option or a spread or like.
Yep.
Gabe, you're a Hawk fan, though. Are you willing to trade the wins in exchange for a boring schedule? Like, let's just assume that this year they had Ohio State and Michigan at home. I mean, as a Hawk fan, you're like, great, I got some good games to go to. Are you like, that's a loss, that's
God,
a loss.
God, I would.
Well, not Michigan. Michigan's a bad example. But Michigan State Ohio State at
Iowa
home.
Iowa State has a great home schedule, and I'd trade that in a heartbeat to get
for wins?
Absolutely. No question.
I don't know. I've changed over the years. You know, being a fan, you know, since I was a child, you know, you wanted wins, especially when you were younger in college.
Yeah.
You know, you want wins. You know, obviously running – HawkeyeNation.com, you know, wins help significantly.
Yeah.
You know, people spend time on the site when they're winning. But exciting football is exciting football. And I love watching the game. I love dissecting things. I love seeing the chess matches and stuff like that happen. So to me, having seen a lot of wins and a lot of losses over the years, I want to see good football, good entertaining games.
Yeah.
That to me is far more appealing than just going out and winning. You know, otherwise, shoot, if we didn't have to play conference games, why not just schedule, you know, 12 FCS games?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's just about the wins.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I swayed you.
You come.
That's all it took.
No, you
when
didn't,
you're,
you
when
didn't
you're an Iowa State fan,
you didn't sway me at all. Like you actually did the opposite. Like I feel more staunchly about my opinion.
An Iowa State fan and an Iowa fan can't come from the same place.
That's
it's
true.
Impossible.
I mean, you're coming
to
off
do
a 2-10 season.
Yeah.
I mean, wins to you guys.
Because I look at Iowa State and I look at like what they're up against, and especially with this 9-game Big 12 now. And it's like, man, like even in like my most optimistic glory. I see Iowa State going 7-5 or whatever.
So
and it's like, but if you give me Iowa schedule, like on a great year, maybe Iowa State could win 10 games. Like on a great year. I don't know. But like it's just Iowa State has such a small margin for error when they're playing that schedule every year.
Gabe,
and that's why like if you could soften it a little bit, absolutely I would take that. I would trade Oklahoma and give me Buffalo.
I've never asked you this question, Gabe, as a Hawk fan, but I'm curious because you hear this, and I believe that it's fair, but do Hawk fans buy into the fact that if the roles were reversed, the records would also be much different? Iowa's in the Big 12. Iowa State's in the Big 10.
That's so hard.
Would Iowa be, with their record at the end of the year, be, let's just say, worse, not even much worse, would it be worse playing in the Big 12?
I don't think that's necessarily the case. We have good teams in the Big Ten. And anytime, I mean, look at the Bulls last year and how it played out. How'd the Big 12 do? How'd the SEC do?
Yeah.
You know?
You can do that over the last 10 years.
But the
too,
big, but the biggest difference that even a Hawk fan would have to recognize is Iowa State's playing everybody. Mm-hmm. And Iowa gets a pass on some of those really good teams.
Yeah,
this year.
And that's one thing that I hate about having divisions within a conference.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, and we're playing Maryland, you know? All right. Woo-hoo.
Who shouldn't even be in the Big Ten and Rutgers and all that stuff. It's stupid. But
realignment, it's a cash grab, and it's watered down everything. We talk about it a lot. I mean, and the Big 12 will do it again. I'm pretty confident that they'll expand, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, Central Michigan's coming – or Central Florida's coming to town or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when they try and fabricate this rivalry between Iowa State and West Virginia, and it's just ridiculous. Like, you can't – maybe over the time it will develop, but you know what I mean? Like, you can't get excited about Rutgers. Maybe in 5 years you will after you've seen them a few times.
Well, that's just it too, though. I mean, as you play teams consistently over the years, right, you learn a little bit about their coach's style. You learn a little bit about the schemes they're going to try to run. You start to pick apart that chess match a little bit, right? So that makes a big difference. You know, when you have a crossover game where you're jumping out of your conference and playing somebody, you know, they've got film. They're smart people. They're spending a lot of time researching, but there's something to be said about playing that staff and those coaches and that program over and over and over again. You learn a little bit out of it. So
I love the Big 12's the way of doing it.
I wish everybody could do it that way. It's just, unfortunately, not – you can't – everything's too big now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just not – but, I mean, there are – I mean, the guys who predict, like, how this whole thing's going to look like in 15 years, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
A bunch of different divisions and
– well, you'll have super conferences. You'll have – well, the, four or five super conferences.
The prediction is the predictions, though, is like the conferences won't even be a thing in like 20 years. That it's going to be like one giant 65 school league with a bunch of different divisions, like the NFL does. And then,
yeah,
you, and it's actual geographic, which to me, that's like my dream. Because then you've got, I mean, like as an Iowa or an Iowa State fan, you can drive to every single road game. You've got 10. Or nine division games, and like they're all like right in your geographic footprint.
Have you visited all of the Big 12?
Not been to all of them.
Which ones have you been to?
I have not been to Lubbock. I have not been to Baylor. I still have
which
not,
is hard to believe.
I know, I love Baylor. Yeah. I have not been to Stillwater.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Charter?
I haven't been anywhere. I'm the first to admit. I mean, I've been a lot of places, a lot of events, but Big 12 road games, I don't think I've been to any, which is shocking.
You ever been to, like, Kansas or Kansas State?
None.
Or?
None. I just haven't had a desire to. But with more of an affiliation with Fnatic and all of that stuff, I mean, I can see myself going to some of the closer ones for sure. Everyone says I need to go to Manhattan. That's one that gets talked about a
Manhattan
lot.
Manhattan is a very underrated town.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I don't have any business and will hate Lubbock. Like, Lubbock is supposedly garbage.
There's no reason to go there.
Exactly. So, Norman, I think it'd be cool to go check out a game at Norman. I take that back. I lied. I have been to a game at Texas before.
Okay.
That just dawned on me. And that's the stadium seemed older to me, like really old.
Yeah, that program's a mess.
You think?
Jeez.
The question, Charlie Strong, I mean, is he going to be there in a couple of years? I mean, you got to give the guy time to grow it, but he doesn't seem to be a player's coach.
How are they doing recruiting-wise?
No idea.
They're doing well.
Are they?
I mean, it's still Texas.
That's the problem. I mean, they were doing well the last 5 years, too, and still aren't winning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one thing if you were to say, like, yeah, they're not getting recruits, then you know. I mean, the writing's on the wall right there.
Yeah.
Because it is Texas. You should at least be able to get recruits, so... at least it hasn't gotten that bad for him.
Yeah, I don't – the problem there, I don't think that the money is in Strong's camp as far as the boosters. And
yeah. What does Paul Rhodes have to do this year to keep his job?
I think if he wins five games on this schedule, I think he'll
– at least five.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I mean, that's a – it's. I think it depends on, like, how it happens, too. I mean, they're
– yeah.
There are caveats to all that. If you go 5-0 and then go 0-7, that's going to leave a pretty bad taste in the fan base.
What does Kirk do to have to keep his job? Win a game. He's good. He's good. He already won one. There's no getting rid of him.
At the same time, I mean, the guy, I think, has earned the ability to have a turd or two of a season, you know, and we're having them right now. But, you know, we're having one of the best recruiting classes we've ever had under Ferentz right now. I mean, there's a lot to be said about what he put into from the standpoint of raising money for the new facilities and that kind of stuff. Like, I've heard those facilities are some of the top in the country, top five.
Yeah.
You know, is the recruiting class, I don't really follow, other than Iowa State's recruiting very well, do they have, like, a lot of numbers or are they, like, highly ranked guys?
Highly touted. They're getting some local
I know
talent.
Because I know they have, a bunch of, like, 25 or something like that. Is it, like... at the end of the class, where do you think they'll be?
They'll be in the top half of the Big Ten.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be in the top half.
And that's
of the Big
where
Ten.
They need to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Iowa's never been the 4- and 5-star recruit school.
And when they
usually
did,
what they do, they suck. Yeah. They're not good.
He built the program on the two, three-star guys and developing them.
Yeah, yeah. Bernstein, I think, is a good example of that. That was a big-time recruit and. That flamed out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I remember
CJ Fedorowicz.
Lincoln? Bernstein went to Lincoln, right?
I think so, yeah.
Rough Rider.
He's got it figured out. You're bringing the 2- to 3-star recruit.
He was at one of the city schools.
Yeah, we had Dallas Clark out yesterday hanging out with us, and he was a walk-on. and he ends up being like one of the greatest tight ends in
might be a Hall of
NFL
Famer.
History. I mean, it helps that you have Peyton Manning slinging you the ball.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know?
A little bit. You still got to play the game, though.
Yeah.
Chris, let me transition into something else because I got an invitation here for Gabe. And Ross is sitting in here with us, too. So I got to plug this thing coming up next week because I want to get the word out about this. So we are Gabe may not even know about this. Probably doesn't. But next week, officially, on 1460 KXNO, we're doing a celebrity slash personality. I think Ross prefers to be called a personality via a celebrity, I think.
Don't you have to have personality to...
I don't know. But what we're doing is a live draft, okay? So we've got 20 people, 20 spots. And all 20 of these, every single week, we'll pick 5 games against the spread. So starting next week on KXNO, what we're going to do is open up the phone lines, and we're going to have a draft. So the first person that calls gets the whichever of the 20 they want to pair with for the season.
Yep.
And the caller doesn't have anything to really do with it. They're just paired with the person's picks. And then the winning team will get $3,000. So best record over the course of the season. $1,000 will go to the caller. $1,000 will go to the personality celebrity. $1,000 will go to their charity of their choice. So it's a win-win. But let me run down this guest list because we're almost firmed up other than one spot. So it might be for Gabe Glenn here. Ooh, this is who will actually be available to pair with starting next week. See if you recognize any of these names, Gabe. Keith Murphy, I've heard of him. Andy Fales, Chris Williams, Ross Peterson, Travis Justice, Heather Burnside. Producer extraordinaire, Andrew Downs.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Soules, The Bachelor.
He has money.
Tana Gertz.
Batch.
Curtis Gertz. Jennifer McDermott. Michael Admire. John Sears. Steve Dace. John Miller. ESPN's Chris Hassel. Biff Hammer. Myself, because it's my pool. And I think we have one spot left. So if Gabe wants it.
I'm in, man.
HawkeyeNation.com's Gabe Glenn can be the 20th spot.
I'm in there.
How does it feel to be the last one?
Oh, you know.
Picked to be on.
It was kind of like that in high school anyways. And like elementary school when they're like picking teams and stuff like that. It was usually like.
Basically what Mark just said. He's like, okay, I got this whole roster filled out, and I can't think of one more person. So
I was waiting for Gabe's status to rise a little bit. Now that he's been on RVTV and he's with Hawkeye Nation, you know, it makes sense. My odds on favorite, of course, I think I'm going to win it because I like to bet on games. Short of that, though, I think Steve Dace is going to win it.
I think Biff Hammer's got a good chance.
Biff, did you hear his picks again for Iowa and Iowa State?
He picked
Iowa to lose, and he picked Iowa State to lose.
Dace was in the news today
in week one. For something bad? Do I want to rethink this pick? Chris isn't saying anything.
I like Dace.
All right.
Dace and I go way back.
Ross, no, I just
saw
it.
Can Dace
pick football games?
He's shaking his head.
In his past life, maybe he could pick football games.
Okay. We'll see. This will be fun.
Apparently, don't pick Steve Dace next week if you get a chance to. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'll tell you this about Dace because I've been at his – I've watched football with him a lot, and he watches a lot of games. I'll give him that. Like that's, although now with his political career, I don't know.
I'm really curious. So out of these 20 names, I'm really curious to see how the callers will pick, what the order will be. You know, there's some perceptions out there, whether real or imagined, as far as who's smart when it comes to picking football games. I could pick a few people that I think will go last, I won't mention by name. But
Why does Hawkeye Nation have 3 representatives and Cyclone Fanatic only has 1?
Hawkeye Nation has Miller and Gabe.
Who's Ross.
Ross is a friend, and Ross is a radio show host.
Okay, so Cyclone Fanatic doesn't have any then.
What?
I mean, if I'm considered a radio host.
Who are you wanting to get in?
I'm just saying. Like, I think that we should be shooting for equal coverage here.
I'm sorry, man. The roster came together the way it came
Bloom.
Together.
You got Bloom. You got Rob Gray.
Don't you count me as part of Fanatic?
Well, yeah.
I have a podcast on there.
I thought you were coming in this as Mark Charter Real Estate.
I am, but I'm also part of Fanatic.
Okay.
Are you trying to get me kicked off of this?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just. I don't like Mark's bias that he's showing
first,
here.
First you support me and say, like, you're being a jerk for just, you know, asking the guy last. You know,
well, I thought it was rude.
And then afterwards, you're like,
just saying,
oh, you know,
like,
what? He shouldn't even be on there.
I'm
seriously,
just saying, I like you being on here, but there's some riffraff we could trim out of this. I mean, I'm just kidding.
I'm open for suggestions, Williams.
I'm just joking. It'll be fun. Speaking of picks, we need to do that.
Yes.
And get this wrapped up because I got a lot to do.
So we need to make our 5 picks.
Gabe, thanks, man.
Yeah.
We're kicking you off now. We're going to get this.
Ross can say hi if he wants to.
All right.
Do you want on or not?
Has Ross ever been on the podcast?
Yeah, he's
been on. Yeah. You did. You did an amazing job.
All right, Mark.
I forgot that.
Who does Gray got this week? Oh, wait. Last week, I'm in first place after week
4-0-1. You tied a game.
Yeah, that was Baylor.
Adam Gray and I both went 4-1 last week.
That's a hell of a week.
We're all off to a stellar start. All right, let me read you Adam Gray's picks here.
Okay.
Briefly.
This is for this week?
This is for this week, correct.
Okay.
Adam's taking Utah minus 13.5 against Utah State. And he gives a long reason, and it doesn't really matter.
We don't care what he thinks.
Utah State minus 13.5, Utah State.
Okay.
Gray is picking Michigan State minus 4 against Oregon. I think that line is 3 now, so we'll have to check on that.
I can double check on that.
Gray is taking the under 50.5, ISU Iowa.
Okay.
Interesting pick. He is next taking Louisville minus 12 against Houston.
Okay.
And Gray's final pick, which he sent in a separate email.
Michigan State. Oh, go ahead.
His last pick, UTEP plus 21 against Tech. He says Tech isn't good enough to beat anyone by 21 this year.
Probably something to that.
Those are Adam Gray's picks.
Michigan State, 3.5.
All right. Should I go into mine?
Yep. Go for it, buddy. All right. Let's go back and forth. So we each have a little bit of time here.
I'm going to do one NFL pick this week, and it will be tonight's game. I'm going to take the Patriots minus 7.
Okay.
Against the Steelers. Steelers secondary stinks. Their starting running back is out. Brady has something to prove, and I think they light him up tonight.
I want Nebraska at minus 27.5 over South Alabama.
All right.
They're going to bounce back with a vengeance and beat up on an FCS team.
All right. I don't disagree with you. Here's an interesting line to me. I'm going to take Louisiana Tech. Again, this game is tonight. Minus 1 over Western Kentucky.
Interesting.
The main reason, Louisiana Tech returns a lot of players. Louisiana Tech won this game last year 59-10. And it's a 1-point spread.
Wow.
I liked Tech minus 1 tonight.
I like the Texas Longhorns at minus 14 over Rice.
Okay.
Pressure's on. And they just the talent differential between Texas and Rice is insane. So they beat up on a team they should.
You're not a big believer in Rice-a-roni. Okay. All right.
That's correct.
Game number 3. I see a 56-10, 63-10 game, somewhere in that ballpark. Ohio State. Minus 41 over Hawaii. Long way to travel for Hawaii. I don't think they're any good. I think Ohio State will be able to do whatever they want to.
Okay.
And they roll in that game.
That's interesting. Let's go. Gosh, a bunch of dog games this week. Bunch of dog games. I'm gonna match one with Adam.
Yep.
The Michigan State at 3.5
okay.
over Oregon.
Okay.
I love Sparty, and I think Oregon is going to have a down year for their standards. And I think Michigan State knows how big this game is.
Yeah.
Because if they win this game, they have a legit shot to make the playoff.
It's big. I am taking the same game but the opposite side.
Okay. Good. That's interesting.
Oregon plus – I had a plus 3. Plus 3.5. I'll surely take that. That'll help even more. I'm not sold on Michigan State. I watched quite a bit of their first game.
Yeah, I did too. They didn't. They,
I'm not,
they,
not they sold on
they
that
reminded
game.
Me of TCU going yeah. through the motions.
Not
in that
not
game.
Sold on that that team at all. And in my opinion, Oregon is still Oregon, and will put up a lot of points. So okay. I got them plus 3.5.
How many do I have left?
Two.
Two left.
Yeah.
I know I want Iowa State to cover. Because that, I mean, that's good. I think if they lose, it's a field goal.
That's my fifth and final. Like, Iowa State plus 3.
Iowa State to cover?
Yep.
Is it? It's 3.5.
I don't. When I did this earlier, so it might be moved.
It is 3.5.
Okay.
So we each get it at 3.5.
All right. I like that game.
And then I need one more.
And I do think Iowa State wins outright, but.
I do too.
What else would
but
I think?
But I picked that. I picked that in like June, so I can't go back on it. You got to stand by your pick. It can't just be. Flip-flopping like a politician here. I need one more.
One more.
I am just going straight off the top of my head with these things.
It worked for you last week.
Yeah, I know.
So I can't fault your methods.
I'm kind of trending that way. I feel like it might be the best route.
You're not overthinking it. I like it.
I know. And, man, I did. I have been overthinking these things the last year or so, and now I feel better about it. Oh, this is another one that I'm pretty confident about. Give me LSU on the road at Mississippi State at -4.5. I just think it's a better team. I think Dak Prescott is a nice player, but I think he's overrated.
That's LSU at
Mississippi State. I like LSU by a touchdown.
It's an interesting pick.
Yeah,
interesting pick. Les Miles. I think it's grassier.
Yeah, I think they're a lot better team.
I don't think I disagree with many of your picks there, other than the Michigan State game.
That's good, though. I like it when we disagree on that.
Which is the best game of the weekend, in my opinion.
You got, like, mad at me for picking Michigan State to make the playoff. So this is kind of a payoff weekend for you and me.
Well, why did I do that? It came down to one game. It comes down to the Ohio State matchup. And I think Ohio State wins that.
No, I do, too.
When they win that, they don't make the playoff. No, that was my argument.
I think a one-loss Michigan State's in.
Did you watch the Ohio State game in full?
Well, we were at the Greenfield Bowl. Yeah, we got to watch some of it, yeah.
To me, I look at that team and I think back-to-back national champions. I just do. I mean, they are super talented.
They are.
They're missing their best defensive player that game.
Yeah, they're missing like five.
On offense, don't you get the feeling they can kind of do whatever they want to do?
Yes.
For the most part?
I mean, the biggest problem they'll have is because they're so damn good is Herb keeping them completely focused. Because upsets happen.
Put Braxton Miller on the Heisman watch list. That guy's good. What's amazing to me is he was a quarterback.
That spin move. My God.
That'll be a highlight reel for the rest of the year. No question about it.
No, I like I think we have some nice picks. It sucks Gray couldn't be here, but I get it. And thanks for coming up, man.
Ross, no one can hear you again, but can you yell out your Hawkeye Cyclone pick? You can grab the mic there. I'm curious on Ross's take because I haven't heard it yet.
Des Moines radio personality Ross Peterson.
27-24 was what I wrote for HawkeyeNation.com.
So that's a cover for Chris and I.
Yeah.
So that'd be okay.
I think either way, field goal.
I'm with Chris on that.
Field goal.
It's funny, too, Ross.
I think that Iowa State's going to move the ball through the air effectively, though.
Yeah.
It's funny, Ross, though, because I had the same. I had 27-24.
Dallas Clark did pretty much the same thing, and we all kind of laughed about
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's just like a really like cliche score to go to.
And if you guys are right.
It's very indicative of the Cy-Hawk game.
If you guys are right, then that also means Adam Gray will lose his under 50.5 pick because they will score 51 points at 27-24.
Man, he really is going low scoring, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I was telling Ross on the way here one more thing on the game. Like I'm oddly more confident about Iowa State's defense than I am the offense.
You guys can chime in on this because on Cyclone Fanatic, I put out a contest like I often do. If you haven't gone to this yet, go ahead. You still have time. Where I'm offering $1,000 to somebody who gets the score right, plus they have to name the game's leading receiver. Not by yards, just by name. So you're already on record. You both said 27-24.
And then which receiver will have the most receiving
game.
Yards or
Correct.
Receptions?
No, yards.
Receiving yards.
Alan Lazard.
You think?
Yeah.
So in order to win the $1,000 for me, someone has to correctly predict Iowa State or Iowa wins the score, plus they'd have to say Lazard. Do you agree with Lazard, or do you think it's going to be somebody else?
I mean, Lazard would be the popular pick, and I think that's a pretty safe pick. But it will be an Iowa State receiver, I think.
I agree.
I think Bundridge,
even if Iowa State loses.
But I think it might be Bundridge because they'll be trying to lock down Lazard so much.
That's a good point.
I think
Or he might break a long one or something.
Right. I want to say DeAndre, but it's Dondre.
DeVaria. Or Dondre Daly.
Another guy that – because
stupid fall camp, yeah.
You've got two good cornerbacks with Iowa. I think you'll probably put King and Maben, try to lock them up on those guys, whoever's in that
single
slot.
Up.
Whoever's in that slot against Bo Bowers, whatever linebacker they put on him, if that's Lazard, put it in pen. Alan Lazard will have the most yards.
You and I did that against Lazard on Saturday, and that didn't end up well.
I mean.
Yeah. I couldn't believe they did that.
As a defensive coordinator, it's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I was saying to Gabe, like, even if Sam Richardson's average, which I think he is, if he has time, an average quarterback should be able to figure that out. That's a big if he has time.
As a fan, I'm curious on this. I want you guys to chime in real quick. How many – because I have a feeling the game's going a certain way. On Iowa State's side of the ball on offense, How many throws will Sam Richardson make that travel over 20 yards in this game, roughly speaking?
Three or four.
I think that's fair. Three or four.
I'd lower into that.
Yeah,
three,
yeah. I don't think he gets to five.
Crossing patterns underneath, outs, all that type of stuff.
Well, receptions that go for 20 plus are like the balls in the air.
The balls in the air.
Oh,
yeah, longer throws.
Two to three.
Longer throws.
It'll be the receivers making.
Yeah, and the secondary for Iowa has to be. They have to play against the pass and make Iowa State beat them with the run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that they're going to try to lock down those deeper routes, and they're going to be aware of that. They know that's something that they could be vulnerable to. But I think those crossing patterns, again, whoever's in that slot and whatever Iowa decides to do there, that's, I think, where that game's going to be probably determined, because if Sam Richardson can complete – if he gets five passes over 20 yards, Iowa State wins. No mm-hmm. doubt about it.
Yeah.
That means they're moving the football really effectively, and that'd be trouble for Iowa.
Yeah.
Yep.
The battle of the line, I think, will tell the story, though.
I did when I walked in. I heard you guys say that you don't think that the trenches will – I think I heard somebody say they don't think that the trenches will – game will be won or lost there. I really do believe that. The passing game for Iowa State against Iowa's secondary is where the game will be determined as far as most fans see it. But, man, every game is won and lost in the trenches.
Yeah,
like, that's, I can make that argument.
Because the thing is, like – what you just described, that Iowa State passing game, if they're getting killed in the trenches...
Doesn't matter. Right.
To a certain degree, though, doesn't a good coach switch to a screen game then? If your line sucks and you're getting constant pressure, don't you start to screen the crap out of the defense?
This is what it ultimately comes down to for me. We've got to be realistic about what Sam Richardson is. He's not Johnny Manziel. I think he's an okay quarterback.
What'd you say earlier? He's not Joe Montana.
Yeah. Like, he's like not.
That's a strong take.
He's not good enough. Yeah, exactly. But he's not good enough to just put the game on his back and win it for you.
Right.
And if he's not getting that help from those, then they chalk it up. Like, he's just not good enough to do that.
Isn't this what makes the life fun, though? Lead up to the game.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
You can talk it to death, but you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
They still have to play it.
All right.
Got some stalkers out there, Rob.
Thanks for coming to
Webster
City.
No, they just pulled the lemon shake-up stand up across the street.
Do you think that they have lemonade like Greenfield here?
Nobody has lemonade like Greenfield.
Come on, Williams.
Greenfield Lions Club, that's next level, man. It's master's class.
Some damn good lemonade.
Yeah. We'll see what this guy is pulling up in a steel shack. So I have a feeling there's some good lemonade coming out of that steel shack on wheels.
Ross is passionate about lemonade.
He uses rainwater off the rusty roof. That's what really gives it a punch. That's how he does it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for letting me be part of it, fellas.
Charter, I appreciate it, brother.
You bet.
You're coming up to hang out with us at Trice tomorrow.
I'll see you guys tomorrow for your epic radio show, and we'll do it up again then.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at iowarealestatemarkcharter.com. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.